In today's gospel, we have the continuation of Jesus' journey across that lake and back. Jesus has calmed the storm that had experienced fishermen believing they were going to die. Before the very eyes of the Gentile Gerasenes on the other side of the lake, Jesus drove evil spirits from the demented, out-of-control man named Legion and into the pigs who ran into the sea and drowned. Well, this caused the Gerasenes to be very afraid, and they begged Jesus to leave them. So back Jesus went into the boat and back to the Jewish side of the lake, where his reputation, healings, and talk of God's kingdom had continued to spread, and a huge crowd awaited him. We now encounter two healing miracles, one buried within the other. Both of these stories demonstrate unmitigated faith in Jesus from both ends of the social spectrum. We have Jairus, a leader in the synagogue, falling at Jesus' feet, begging for his daughter's life. Come and lay your hands on her so that she can live. This is a person who is a leader in the community, who is acknowledging that Jesus' authority surpasses his own. Jesus responds and immediately moves towards Jairus' home. And in the midst of this huge crowd that has gathered, Jesus then senses power leaving him and asks, "Who touched him?" Well, the disciples are wondering, who has not touched him, as this crowd was so massive? However, Jesus was able to discern the touch of his garment by the one whose faith was so strong that she knows she will be healed just by that touch. Faith and love win. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He seeks out the person who's touched him, not to chide, but to recognize and develop relationship with the person. He stops his journey to the home of an important person to tend to and seek relationship with an outcast of society. With Jesus, the needs of the marginalized and the vulnerable outcast are just as important as the needs of the socially prominent person. This unnamed, socially discarded woman's faith, in spite of her fear of breaking the required cultural norms, has been rewarded in her faith. She is healed. And Jesus then continues on to the daughter of Jairus, in spite of the heckling and laughter and derision he received from the bystanders. And they did that not only because they didn't understand why Jesus would delay getting to a prominent person's daughter to pay attention to a social outcast, but because they also thought Jesus didn't know sleeping from dead. Yet, Jesus carried on, telling Jairus, "Do not fear. Only believe." And Jairus, in spite of his fear for his daughter, had faith in Jesus, and his faith was rewarded. His daughter lived. Faith and love win. Well, in reflecting on these two healing stories, I began to wonder, what exactly is faith? Where does it come from? How do we live in faith? How does faith overcome fear? Have you figured that out yet? I think I'm still working on it. Defining faith can get tricky. The International Dictionary of the Bible talks about faith like this, describing its meaning from both a Greek and Hebrew language usage. They talk about faith and faithfulness, and in the Greek, the basic range of the term in its actual usage is from the sense of subjective confidence in someone or something else to the objective basis for such a confidence. A subjective believing on the basis that the one or object trusted is reliable. Trust confidence, faith, and that which evokes trust, faithfulness, reliability, fidelity, commitment. And then the Latin, fides, has the same basic range, trust in a person or a thing, and that which produces confidence or belief, trustworthiness, faithfulness, credibility. The Hebrew terms are more weighted towards the objective end, stability, reliability, faithfulness, whereas the Greek extends more into the subjective sense of trust in, or believing, or faith. So the basic meaning of the Greek verb is simply trust, put faith in, rely on a person, a thing, or a statement. The Hebrew also indicates trust in or reliance on, but basically it's an expression of confidence in the object of that trust. In the Hebrew usage, trust includes a recognition and affirmation of the trustworthiness of the object of the one trusted. The stability and security of believing or faith as predicated on the stability and reliability or faithfulness of the one relied on. Well, that's a lot of words to have us think about the trustworthiness of Jesus, of God, isn't it? What does it tell us? We ask, what did the woman have faith in? What did she believe in? And what about Jairus, the leader in the synagogue? Where was his faith? What was his faith placed in? Think about how God has acted in your life and how those actions have led to your sense of trust, the strength of your faith, your belief that God is trustworthy and reliable. I tend to believe that faith is not just something that happens to us, but faith is a decision that we make. I believe that we choose God and choose to believe that, like the woman and Jairus, we can put our faith in Jesus, faith in our God, because they have proven over and over again they are stable, reliable, and oh so trustworthy. Jesus said to Jairus, "Do not fear, only believe." Easier said than done sometimes, isn't it? In spite of the fact that we are told in some form not to fear about 365 times in Scripture, which equates to about once a day for a whole year, how often, in spite of our best efforts, fear creeps into our thinking, our being? And how often do we receive a gentle, subtle nudge back? Do not fear, only believe. Faith has been described as the attitude and action of believing. And Hebrews 11:1 tells us that now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Well, please allow me to give you an example of one of these gentle nudges I referred to, something I experienced in the last week. I was out walking dogs, and as I usually do, I was talking to God. I usually use this time to give thanks and admire God's beautiful creation in nature. However, on this occasion, I began ruminating about things that were weighing on me, causing me anxiety, and I must admit some discomfort and even some fear over unknown outcomes and my ability to get things done and done correctly. When my mind finally stopped yammering at God, a thought popped into my head. Actually, it was a hymn that I hadn't heard in a long time. And the title of that hymn, "Be Not Afraid." I have to confess that got my attention. And the words to this hymn go like this. You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and all will understand. You shall see the face of God and live. If you pass through raging waters in the sea, you shall not drown. If you walk amid the burning flames, you shall not be harmed. If you stand before the power of hell and death is at your side, know that I am with you through it all. Blessed are your poor, for the kingdom shall be theirs. Blessed are you that weep and mourn, for one day you shall laugh. And if wicked tongues insult and hate you all because of me, blessed, blessed are you. And when the earth has turned beneath you and your voice is seldom heard, when the flood of gifts that blessed your life has long since ebbed away, when your mind is thick and hope is thin and dark is all around, I will stand beside you till the dawn. And the chorus, that chorus that's sung after each verse, goes like this. Be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will give you rest. Be not afraid. This hymn kept playing in my mind, and what I found was a renewed sense of calm and peace, what I call a God nudge or a God poke. This is just a small example of how I believe that God, through our Lord Jesus, demonstrates God's great trustworthiness and allows us to have faith in God. No matter our circumstances, we can trust that our God walks with us in all things and at all times. God doesn't always respond in big, flamboyant actions. It's up to us to have the awareness to look for the many, sometimes small and subtle ways that God sends God's love. And this gives us a renewed attitude and action of believing. Just as the woman and Jairus had faith in Jesus, just as they acted on that faith in spite of fear and trepidation, so can we follow their example and believe that faith can cast out all fear so that faith and love win. Amen.